Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vin, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Oh, good morning, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. So writing this book had to be something that was probably a little bit difficult for you, because it seems like you've gotten to a really good place in your life, but you had to live through some of the darker moments. Take us through what it was like having to pour out some of those darker moments into the book.
Oh, yeah, you're exactly right. It was difficult, going back and revisiting all of the moments and the times that were obviously some very dark times in my life. But the encouraging part in doing it for me was to know that if I write this and I kind of pour out my story, it'll give me the opportunity to help someone else who may be struggling with addiction, or I can pull somebody from the darkness of addiction and alcoholism. So that was the light at the end of the tunnel for me, is to be able to know someone else.
Now, Vin, you were a hell of a basketball player coming out of college. That's why you were drafted as high as you were. Then once you got to the NBA, what led to the alcoholism? Was it a fear of being successful? Was it a fear of failing? Was it a fear of living up to expectations? Because sometimes we can be in a place where we have dreamt of being, and yet we question whether or not we should be there at that time and place. Is that what took place with you?
Well, I think for me, coming from a small town in a small school, University of Hartford, I always had this chip on my shoulder to prove to people, that I belonged. And I always had that chip in the NBA and in college. And believe it or not, kind of the opposite, I was four-time All-Star in 5 years. And I felt like in some ways I had really arrived. And, that's what kind of, it took the chip off of my shoulder to prove. And then, of course, the professional lifestyle of, women, parties, and all those things overcame my drive. It overcame the chip that I previously had to try to get to the NBA and prove that I belong. So that's what happened to me, is that I got there, four-time All-Star, Olympic gold medalist. I had my own Jordan sneaker. And, the next thing I know, I don't feel like I have that much to prove. And I think that's where a part of the reason, ironically, my success, the downward spiral began to happen.
When we hear these stories of redemption and a fall and working back up to a better place, sometimes you hear the term rock bottom. Did you have a rock bottom moment, and what was that?
I don't think I can place it on, just one moment. There's so many different things I can point to as saying this is rock bottom, from foreclosures on my house to, it's well documented, going from $100 million to zero. But I don't think those necessarily the materialistic things or there's necessarily one moment. I think it was a culmination of events and to get me into a place where I needed help, the rock bottom could be anything. I think a lot of people will look at, he worked at Starbucks, but to be honest with you, Starbucks was kind of on the upswing for me. I got myself sober and put myself in a position where I could walk into a 9-to-5, and in recovery, that's a huge come up. In the basketball, in the NBA world, in the sports world, it's like, oh boy, he's falling all the way down to Starbucks. But for recovery people, for people in recovery, it was, wow, he's functional to go and get a job, and especially a job of making customized coffee every morning. So it was a lot of things that went into, this rock bottom. It wasn't one particular juncture. I'm just happy that I understood and recognized that I had come to my end as far as the alcohol was concerned, and I was able to, you know, turn it around, walk into a facility, and now I'm 6.5 years sober.
Sweet. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
I've got a good buddy who always says, you have nothing in your pocket, put your pride in your pocket. And it seems that you did that. And how did you come to terms with being this this highly sought after athlete who made a ton of money, and yet you're standing there at a Starbucks, you know, making me a latte? And your pride had to have taken a hit, but I guess at that point where you were in life, it was do or die.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. You couldn't have said it any better. It was, the pride had to be put on the back burner, the ego, the four-time All-Star, everything had to be put on the back burner. I was at a place, more importantly, where I needed to provide for my family. That's what I'm most proud of. A lot of people stay in that space. No, I'm not going to any Starbucks. I'm not working for any. Well, for me, it was necessary, and I'm thankful and grateful that I was able to tuck my past, you know, the tough times, even the great times, tuck my past and put my work belt on and go in and say, you know, I got to provide for my family. So it was a do or die situation for me. It wasn't necessarily an option. Like, I didn't sit around and say, was it going to be Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts or Berkey? It was, I obviously had a relationship with Howard Schultz from playing for him in Seattle. I think that's kind of missed in the story, that it, you know, it wasn't just chance that I went to Starbucks. I had a relationship, a really good friendship with Howard Schultz, and that was kind of the beginning of our business relationship with him outside of the Sonics.
Gio and Jones with Vin Baker, former NBA All-Star and author now of God and Starbucks, an NBA Superstar's Journey Through Addiction and Recovery. Excuse me, Addiction and Recovery. I know how my brain works, and I tend to mentally beat myself up when I do things that I don't like, and I look back and I'll have regrets, and why did I do that, and then I'll have this wasted time for an hour maybe out of a day looking back and beating myself up. Have you gotten to a point in your life where you no longer do that, or do you still look back and have a lot of regrets?
Yeah, no, I've totally stopped regretting and stopped beating myself up and stopped, you know, throwing pity parties a long, long time ago. In my recovery, there's just no room for it. If you're always going to look back and say, what if I say, what if I had kept through this or did that, there's some things in my past that might pop up that I don't want to recover. And maybe in, you know, having money at that level is a trigger. You know, my recovery is first. You have to put, no matter whether it's business, money, family, recovery has to be put first. So if I start regretting the career I could have had, the money I could have made, money I could have saved, you know, then I'm not looking at today and saying, wow, wait a minute, my son's going to BC, Boston College, have a beautiful wife, I'm in the ministry. So a lot of those things had to happen, if not all of them had to happen, to put me in a space that I'm in today. And so there can be no regrets. There are no regrets because more. And the most important thing is I'm sober today. You know, I have a beautiful sober life, and that's the most important thing. At some point, you have to live a purpose-driven life. It has to go beyond money. I'm not sitting here today at 45 saying, I wish I had been in the NBA. I wish I had made a lot of money. I did all those things. And so now for me, it's about my kids. It's about my wife. It's about my ministry. And just as important, it's about telling people how to helping people get sober when they do hit that rock bottom in their lives. If there's a person that's been there that's trying to lift them up and back on track, because you can get back on track.
You mentioned your current family. Where was your family when you were experiencing and putting yourself through all these travails?
Well, they were there, but I was pushing them out. You know, when you have the type of money that I had and the career that I had, you always tend to place yourself above the fray, above the family, above the friends, above the addiction. And so my family was there. But you have to understand that at that time also, when you're making that kind of money, you're also the provider. Typically people don't like to push back against the provider. And so unfortunately I put my family and my friends, my wife in a place where it was tough to say something, you know, just worried about the repercussions or what might happen, not to me, but to the relationship. So it was a tough spot for them. It was a tough spot for me, but I'm grateful and thankful today that I've made amends with my mother and my father and my wife and my kids. And, you know, we put all that stuff behind us, and we just take it a day at a time now.
You mentioned how you are 6 years sober and doing a lot of research on these things and talking to people who have gone through it. Generally, it takes a couple of times, maybe into a rehab program, two or three times before it finally sticks. There may be a relapse or two in there. Do you live in fear of potential relapse? Is that something that you think about even to this day?
Well, I don't live in fear of it, but I have a healthy fear of relapse. I'm not so sober that I don't take, you know, my daily, understand daily that I have to walk through steps in my life spiritually to have a good day. It's a day at a time. But I can honestly say this, not in 6.5 years have I said I'm going to get a drink. And it hasn't been so strong on my mind. Not to say that can't happen, but in 6.5 years, I've never walked into a package store, walked into a bar, walked out and said, wow, that was a close one. So I'm taking the steps, you know, spiritually each day by my ministry, with my family and friends and, you know, doing everything I need to do a day at a time. Even with the 6.5 years, that's just the athlete in me saying I'm 6.5 years in the O right now. But I take it one day at a time. It's like one fight at a time, one day at a time. So I have a healthy fear of alcoholism and addiction, but I also know that if you do the right things and take the proper steps, you can have a healthy life in recovery. And that's what I've been able to do thus far, and that's what I expect to do going forward.
You were a tremendous basketball player. The game was good to you. Are you still drawn to it?
To the game of basketball?
Yes.
Absolutely. You know, I love watching the game. I've actually worked with the Milwaukee Bucks this past year doing pre- and post-game TV. I've done work with the New York Knicks. I also did an apprenticeship job, an assistant coaching job last year with the Texas Legends. So I love the game of basketball and love being around it. Even the style of basketball, which is obviously much different than the 90s, I love watching it today. We have some amazing stars in Durant, LeBron, Curry, et cetera. So I enjoy being around the game, and I'm just grateful that I saved my life to continue enjoying it and certainly enjoy my own son's game. So I'm watching and I'm a fan still of the NBA.
Well, next time you do one of those Bucks games, you tell my buddy Greg Foster to sit down because he can't coach.
That's my big brother. I'm gonna have to tell him where it came from. I'm not gonna be able to say it.
You tell him BJ from my UCLA days.
I would definitely tell Big G what you said.
Hey Vin, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. Best of luck with the book. Your story is truly inspiring.
Great story, man.
We hope we can talk to you again down the road.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.